Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You. On that note, hey everybody, welcome to episode 291 of Pero Let Me Tell You. Well, yeah, we're 9 weeks away from 300.
We sure are.
This is like a whole 9 week period in a grade.
Oh, do we get a teacher planning day at the end?
Do you remember how when you were in elementary school, how your life was measured by 9 weeks?
That is true, and nowhere else is that the case.
No. You know, you had 4 9 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's, what, 36 weeks?
That's the way my math
right,
works.
36 weeks. Yeah. And yeah, your life was measured in 9 week intervals. Wow, right?
If only that were still the case.
Yeah. So welcome, everybody. How are you all doing?
I think everybody's doing good. But am I to assume that you were singing Nelly Furtado because you saw her Juno performance?
Her Juno performance.
Can we talk about that ass?
Can we? I mean, va-va-voom.
Damn.
She looked great.
And she's been eating those black beans from that video. Turn off the light.
You know what I love is that, you know, she's always had, you know, the thing about Nelly Furtado? She's always had a banging body.
Right.
But she, I mean, it's not that she wasn't like sexy because that she was
her thing.
Right. It wasn't front and center, especially at the beginning. And like her second or third album, the one loose and promiscuous and all that, it was a little bit more. But she was always one of these people that like you would look at her and it's like, whoa, she was fed well.
She's definitely Portuguese.
Yeah. And now, you know, the Juno Awards, for those of you who don't know, it's sort of like the Canadian Grammys.
Right.
You know when I first heard of the Juno Awards? Alanis Morissette.
Okay, well, that tracks.
You know, when you know,
she
back
swept
in the MTV days, that there would be like, Alanis Morissette won 25 Juno Awards. Yeah. And it's like, oh, Canada.
Oh, they do their own thing, don't they?
Yeah. That's like, you know what their music channel is?
Much Music.
Much Music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, Nelly Furtado did like a greatest hits medley in the Juno Awards this week in Canada. If for those of you who are curious, just look up Nelly Furtado Juno Awards 2024. And, you know, she's one of these people that like she has a lot of hits.
Yeah. You don't stop and think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That song that we were singing. Oh, you don't mean nothing at all to me. That song is so freaking good. That's a great song.
That album.
I mean, great. Her Timbaland era was great.
That is true. But it was just Timbaland. It wasn't Timbaland and Magoo.
No. That was.
Yeah. Where is Magoo?
You know what? You left me speechless.
Is that what they were looking for at Diddy's mansion this week? Magoo.
Oh my God, can we talk about that for a moment? Where is my Yeti?
I saw you looking for something. Okay, I see your Yeti. We can keep talking about Diddy.
He's picking up my Yeti.
The Yeti, yes.
I don't go anywhere without my Yeti nowadays. I need refreshment.
No, clearly he needs hydration.
Listen, I've talked about this before. We are not sponsored by Yeti, but Yeti, if you want to sponsor us, please.
Yeah.
People, if you don't have a Yeti, you need to get one. This thing has witchcraft. Like, I don't understand how I could fill it with ice now and on the today's fake Friday.
Yeah.
Like on Saturday, it will still have water.
It will still have ice. And it'll still have ice.
Does it do that?
It's magic.
I'm sure it is.
It's from Hogwarts.
And I've heard that for hot like soup and all that, it does the same. But you know, I don't drink anything hot, so
that's true. I don't drink
warm beverages.
So you've never been soothed.
Is that what it is?
No. So on Big Bang Theory, Sheldon, his meemaw, his grandmother, always said that when somebody's agitated, you offer them a hot beverage to soothe them.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah. You know, like a tea, like a chamomile.
I don't like anything hot.
Yeah.
I don't.
Even Mel B?
I don't even like food really hot.
Well.
Have you seen what I do to soup in a restaurant?
I don't think I've ever seen you have soup at a restaurant.
I don't have soup often, but I do. I put ice in it.
Okay, I've never seen you do that.
Yeah, I do.
Because I would remember that.
Well, I'm not like, hey, everybody, stop eating dairy and it's putting ice in his soup. But I put ice in my soup.
Okay, but that's like something
I would notice. I don't like it cold, but I don't like hot food. And like when they bring me food like in a restaurant, like I wait a good 5 minutes before I eat it. I'll like eat the corn on the side or still finish my bread and blue cheese.
Okay, so you've got other things to occupy.
I'm sitting there not eating, just like looking up at the ceiling, right? I keep myself occupied with other things. But no, I don't like anything really hot. I don't.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, yeah, I don't.
I mean, I live in the tundra. What do you expect?
This is true. Yeah, I've never even seen you have like hot chocolate.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
I don't do hot chocolate. If I want chocolate, I'll have room temperature chocolate.
Room temperature chocolate. That does not roll off the tongue.
No, I don't do tea. I've tried to be a tea person.
You've never had like manzanilla? Like cuando
tiene un mal de estómago? Right, but I'm not somebody who like, oh, I'm going to go have some tea.
Oh, I tried to be a tea person. It didn't take.
I've tried to be a tea person. I'll do like the honey, like I will do tea and put honey, put milk. And it's not that I don't like it.
It's just not your jam.
I'm just not that person.
Yeah, I tried to be that person once because I was like, it's got to be better than coffee. It didn't take.
No, it's hot.
It didn't take. No, for you, but I'm saying for me, like, it just didn't take. No.
I don't like anything warm.
Yeah, I can't start my day with tea.
That just sounds wrong.
No.
You can't start your day with tea.
No.
I feel that in, like, Latin culture, it's todo, ay, tómate un tilo.
Tómate un tilo, right? Like, yeah, it's like, I'm not
going to have
un
tilo. Okay, what is tilo?
Tilo is actually... Is it
chamomile?
I think it's like a chamomile. It's not chamomile because chamomile is manzanilla, but I think tilo is like...
Tilo chamomile reminds me of... It's just one thing and one thing only because I had never really heard about it before either. Gwen Stefani.
Oh. Do you know that? I was in my like...
What is it? I've just sipping on chamomile.
Watching the girls with the sax appeal.
And went to my high school.
All the boys are... I was in my mid-20s before I realized that manzanilla was chamomile.
I had never heard anybody say chamomile because
because it's manzanilla.
Nobody in my family's from Orange County.
Right.
Full circle with Gwen Stefani.
That's great.
But no, I'm not.
No, you're not a hot beverage person.
No. So I like everything cold, like a very cold cowie that you're opening up now.
Because I need some sugar.
And I'm like under 3,000. I don't like things cold. I like
things. You almost got a cowie bath, by the way.
I like things ice cold.
With that one.
I'm the type that I will put like a soft drink in the freezer when it's almost to the point of freezing. And then I'll put a cup with ice and put that in there. So then my ice
gets... And then he'll sit on a glacier while he drinks
absolutely.
It.
Yes.
Actually, have you heard his new album, Andre 3000?
I can't say that I have.
The one with the flute?
It's a flute album?
It's a flute album and it's really good.
If anybody could do that, it's him.
It's really good.
That's like I always used to say, if anybody could do a yodeling album, it would have been Jewel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe she should do a yodeling and bring on Andre 3000 to do a flute album.
A flute album, yeah.
Yodel flute.
And then the singer could be T-Pain.
Yes.
Did you see T-Pain sing a few months ago?
Well, I saw T-Pain when he won Masked Singer.
Right, but then he had like, was it a Tiny Desk concert? No, he just had a concert, like online, and he can sing.
Oh, no, he can. That's what I'm saying. He won Masked Singer.
But then again, I don't care if he could sing or not, because I freaking love T-Pain. Right. I love T-Pain, you know, voice.
Vocoder or whatever. Or auto-tune, not. Yeah. But isn't it nice to know that he doesn't need it?
He doesn't need it. Right, he doesn't need it. So, okay, well, let's go back to Diddy.
Yes, or Puffy. Back to Diddy. Yes, back to.
I never stopped calling him Puffy. I just want to go on record saying he may have committed, because these are all allegations at this point in time.
Well, now everybody's coming out and saying things were hinky. Yeah.
So they may show him to be the worst human being in the world, and that may very well be true. Mm-hmm. And if it is true, then I hope justice is served accordingly. I will, however, and whoever wants to come at me can come at me, I will, however, not be canceling his music, because I freaking love his music, and I am not going to stop listening to his music, even though he may be a horrible human being.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember me in the Diddy years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like,
yes.
I was like, I need to find somebody who could be Mace.
I don't know how we don't have more pictures taken through a fisheye lens. Like,
I freaking love his music, and I know that he's not the world's best rapper. I know he sort of sucks as a rapper, but I was
more of a producer.
I was here for Bad Boy. I was here for every moment of Bad Boy and all the Bad Boy collabs.
Does that company still exist, Bad Boy Records?
Not really.
But is it like bought by somebody else? Or?
No, I don't think it was ever sold, but I can't think of the last Bad Boy production.
Right. That's why I was like, I wonder if it's.
You know, some of my favorite songs of his? Someone with Keisha Cole. Last night, I couldn't even get an answer. That song is my jam.
I like that song.
And I like all his songs. I love It's All About the Benjamins Rock Remix.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the Little Kim.
Yeah.
Wanna bumble with the B? Throw a hex on the whole. I mean, come on. How can you cancel that music, even if he's a horrible person?
Horrible person, yeah. It's trafficking charges? Is that what it is?
Oh, it's like human trafficking. And I mean, he hasn't been charged with anything yet.
I mean, the feds raided his mansion down here.
They raided his mansion.
I mean, they don't raid your mansion for funsies.
Though, I will say this, and I was talking to a friend of mine earlier this week about it. I always found really odd that, and you could go see it for yourself now, in all of my multiple trips I've taken on the little Miami boat tour that they take you around, like Star Island and Palm Island. That we took not so long ago. But you realize that's like the 20th time I've taken that boat tour, right?
You were actually giving a better tour than the guy who was giving the tour.
Remember that I was telling you, okay, now we're going to see this house.
And we're going to belong to this one. And
I always found really odd because, you know, for those of you who are not, for you listeners who are not from Miami, so in between Miami Beach and downtown Miami, there's the bay, and it's absolutely stunning. That's one of the
gorgeous
areas that when I drive by, I'm like, wow, we get to live here, right, in Miami. Because on one, you know, again, in one side you have the beach, and the other side, Miami Beach, and the other side you have downtown. To the right of you, you have the cruise port with all the ships there, and then to your left, you have Star Island and Palm Island, right, which is where, like, the rich people live. Like, this is not, like, you're doing well for yourself. This is, like, big baller money, right? And you have Gloria Estefan, Shakira, Ricky Martin, right. Elizabeth Taylor used to have a house there. Thalia has a house there. Yes. Like all these big
people. Those houses always brought her luck.
Have a house there. And obviously, because it's a such pristine location, you know, these houses are out and open to the bay. Like, you know, because it's showing.
That's what you pay for.
Well, Puffy has a house there. And his house, which I always noticed, and I was always like, but why? His house is like a freaking fortress.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It has you cannot see from the bay. You see the roof of the house because the house is covered by walls, fences, and like shrubs. Defeats the purpose of living there, right? Because if you live there, you want to see the water and the bay and the skyline, right? No, like his is completely covered. And I was always a bit like, I bet a lot, like, why? Like, you have such beautiful scenery here and it's completely covered up. Well, you know, some shady shit was going down there. But, you know, the thing with him and, you know, whether it's him or all these other men that have gotten into like really big trouble. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know that I'm very much an advocate for listening to victims, and whether it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, right. you have to listen to people. I just think that, and this is in no way, shape, or form a defense or an excuse for his behavior, mm-hmm. but I just think that, especially, you know, from the time that he came up in the mid to late 90s, this bad behavior on especially all these men, people didn't care. And
it was almost celebrated.
It was almost celebrated. And all these people, you know, they were rich, they were young, they had money, they had power. And
all the excess.
All the excess. And they did all these terrible things. And there was no sense of accountability whatsoever. Right. Whatsoever. So when you hear of a Puffy or even an R. Kelly, and the list goes on and on yeah. and on, it's shocking in the sense that, like, okay, here's somebody that I grew up listening to, that I love his music, right. that, you know, so on and so forth. So it's shocking.
Right.
But in the same time, when you stop and think about it, it's not that surprising.
Right, because that's just, and again, I know it's not an excuse, but it's like, that was just the times.
It was times
that stuff was happening.
But I want to make it very clear that it was the times that people just didn't, there was no accountability.
Do you think it's because of, I mean, and I know you and I have at times railed against the cesspools that can become social media, but I do think social media has a big role to play.
Social media has a big part role to play, but I just think we live in a post Me Too world.
But Me Too, I think, was able to gain the oxygen that right. it got
and, because and, of social and regarding media. Puffy, there are people who have for years,
yeah, been ringing
you know, been, and you know the thing with Puffy, for me, Puffy to me is a little bit like Bill Cosby in the sense that I really liked right. like millions of people.
You're
I really fan. Liked yeah. Bill yeah. Cosby, and I loved the Cosby Show. So, you know, when you grow up liking someone so much, you know, you have a moment of reckoning of like, oh my God, this person kind of sucks as a human being. Right. Right. This is
it's that whole separate the art from the artist.
Right. This and all is that, this right. is not like, oh well, they were having a bad day, you know. This is a terrible human being that did awful things. Yeah, and pattern. You have to have that moment that it's like, okay, do I separate the art from the artist? You know, does this change me liking this person's, you know, music mm-hmm. or content? And to me, with Puffy, it's a similar one because I personally have always been a really big fan of yeah, him yeah. and Bad Boy Records and all that. Like, I ate that whole Bad Boy, you know, family up. Like,
you really did.
I yeah. really
yeah.
did.
Yeah. like, yeah.
I mean, I
Bad Boy for life.
Bad Boy yeah. for like anything Bad Boy did. Like, I
you
bought.
Were there. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I went to the Family Values tour back in the day sure. with all the Bad Boy stars, like Puffy, The Lox, Mace, Little Kim. I was totally that.
You were in.
So, you know, with him, it's been several years that people have been like saying, hey,
he boss.
Sucks. Like Cassie threw him under the bus. Danity Kane, like everything that went down with Danity Kane.
Oh, yeah.
And those girls have been very vocal about like how abusive he was with them.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
it's not like you said, it's shocking, but not surprising.
Right. It wasn't one person that maybe has of an, you know, because you could always say, oh, but it's one person as a vendetta. No, when it's like a lot of people yeah. that are saying this, like there's certainly
where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes, there's certainly a pattern here. So, I mean, we'll see. He hasn't been charged with anything yet, but I think that anytime your house is raided by the government,
yeah, it's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign.
No,
it's
no.
not a good no. sign. And again, you know, these powerful men with a lot of money, especially that they were at the height of their fame and money and power at a time where this was not checked upon. There was no accountability.
Yeah.
So many people have skeletons in their closets.
Oh, it's an elephant graveyard.
I mean, when you hear of these people like having their moment, it's like, okay, great, justice, but there's a plenty where that came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, you're just scratching the surface sometimes.
So in other words, maybe by the end of this year, we're probably going to be looking forward to the next series of Now Surviving Puffy.
Yes.
But will it be Surviving Puffy or Surviving Diddy or Surviving Sean?
So that's a good one. Maybe, you know what, it might just be Surviving Bad Boy.
Mm.
because if they were all part of like the record label, then maybe it'll and that way they don't have to worry about the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll yeah. see.
Yeah. Confronting Combs.
We ain't going nowhere. Oh my god, you know a song of his I love? Which that song wasn't a hit. The D, the I, the D, the D, the Y. Don't you remember?
I do remember.
It's Diddy. Hold up is Diddy.
I remember that song, but yeah. That song wasn't a hit, you're saying?
No, it was a hit, but I don't think it's one of his
biggest hits. Oh, okay, it's not one of his top hits. Ones. Okay,
oh,
okay,
that song, the beat of that song, the sample is great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to transition, because I know you wanted to talk about something as well, and since it's just funny how the brain works, you said, we're talking about Diddy, then you brought up Bill Cosby, which made me think of The Wretched, which made me think of Baltimore,
Maryland.
And I know you know, we had that horrible tragedy this week. The bridge in Maryland, just that ship just, plowed right through it. I mean, what I thought was funny is at one point they were like, oh, it's a partial collapse. And I was like,
partial.
I was like, I'm sorry, I don't think you understand what the word partial means. Like, what was left? You know,
and what made that tragedy even worse was that it was, well, to what you're saying, it was the whole thing.
Right. That's what I was saying. I saw one report like, oh, partial. I'm like, what? I'm sorry. I don't think we're using the same definition of that.
Yeah. That's such a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. And
we're just lucky there weren't more
people. And that's such a horrible way to go. It really, when you see things like that, it's just sort of shakes you because, crossing a bridge, what's more mundane and like everyday than you don't crossing think about a bridge? It. And from what I hear, I think there's 6 people missing and they're presumed dead at this moment. I think most of them, if not all of them, were the bridge workers.
Oh.
Because they were working on the bridge when that happened. Because if you look at the video, right when the collapse happened, at least on the video, it doesn't show any cars on the bridge. Because even a few seconds before the collapse, you saw cars going
right.
You know, on the bridge. But right at that moment, you don't see any. You know, maybe there were, but they did recover cars from the bay.
Yeah, but they were saying that they think it's from the people who are
missing. Right, because there was a concrete truck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's because they were working on the bridge. And they say that all the people that fell with the bridge, that were working on the bridge, were all like immigrants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, they were working on the bridge.
Yeah, working, yeah.
And
capital W.
I will say this, and our hearts and thoughts go out to...
I mean, it's a tragedy.
To the, the families involved and just everybody involved, right? Because this is a huge catastrophic event that not only has...
And that bridge was a major artery.
Right. It has a loss of life, but... it was a major artery to the Baltimore port. Mm-hmm. And what I actually did not know is that most cars that are imported to the United States enter through Baltimore.
Really?
Yes. Like when I mean a large percentage, I mean like 90%.
That's so random.
They enter through Baltimore. I'm sorry. Every time I say Baltimore.
You want to say Maryland.
I want to say Baltimore. I'm sorry, people. This is from our favorite episode of
Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show, when Vanessa goes see the Wretched in Baltimore, Maryland. Anyway, they enter through Baltimore. Now they've talked about like the economic effects that this could have widespread on the American economy because we didn't need that.
Yeah, we're fine.
But what I will say about it is this, and again, it's a tragedy, and our hearts and thoughts go out to everybody affected in this. I sent a text to our group text. So we, like many people, have a text chain going on with my closest friends, which I don't participate in. Right? I never participate.
Yes, much to everyone's annoyance.
I never,
because we all make plans on it, and then he'll just be like, "Wait, what are we doing tomorrow?
What are we doing tomorrow?
What's happening? Like, I don't know. People are coming to my house.
I don't have time for the nonsense of the group chat." But anyway, and you that you're so busy as well. I don't know how you have you're number one on that group chat.
I keep an eye on it just to scan for anything that is relevant. No,
clearly
to the day.
You do because you're like the moderator practically. But anyway, where I'm going with this, I even had sent in our group chat among my friends. I had even said, "Hey, have you checked the comments?" You know, this wasn't the only Indeed
post
about the bridge fall. Have you checked the comments on there? It just, and again, it has nothing to do with only Indeed. We love only Indeed. We love the, we know the people who run the page.
It's the comments section.
We love them. We love the what the page goes. So it's nothing against them.
It keeps us very informed.
But the comment section, I mean, only Indeed posted this as a news article. They didn't weigh anything in. They posted this as a news article. The comments were just disgusting of people with all these conspiracy theories about the bridge, that it was done on purpose, that it's because it's in election years. People trying to politicize the bridge. It's like all these comments of these horrible people, because that's what they are. They're awful people making these inappropriate, rude comments, and there is a major loss of life. And your first thought or your first comment was not, "Hey, this is such a tragedy. We're thinking about those we lost," right. Or, "Hey, this is such a terrible thing that happened. You know, our thoughts and prayers goes out to these people." No, rather, what you wanted to go online and say was all this crap and all these conspiracy theories and all this bullshit. It's like I'm so over these. Like swarm of people in these comment sections, just these awful human beings, because that's what they are. They're awful human beings that even in something like this, that is a tragedy, you know, that they can't muster a sense of compassion just to put something, or maybe not even put something at all, right?
You don't have to comment.
That it's like, you know what? Shame on all of you. Just shame on all of you that you feel that you can make even the worst tragedy a platform for whatever your stupid political stance is, or for whatever it is that you have to say. It's just, it's really disgusting. And that's why I tell you all the time on our page. I mean, obviously our page is not as big as only Indeed.
So you can't moderate.
We can't moderate. I mean, a page the size of only Indeed, I mean, they would have to have like moderators to go through the comments, right? We don't have a tolerance for that. If you're going to put something nasty on our page, especially if you don't follow us, you're either going to get deleted, you're going to get blocked, or you're going to hear from us, because the bucks has, there has to be accountability somewhere. Right. And it's just, it was so sad to see this. Like all these people with these stupid conspiracy theories, just, they couldn't just say, "What a tragedy. This was horrible." Or just, as I said, not say anything at all.
You don't have to comment on everything, boys and girls. That is, you know, what's the old saying? If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all, right?
I think a lot of people have forgotten that
People have forgotten that saying, if they've even learned it at this point. Yeah. It's just sad. And yeah, it's, you know, again, look, social media, it is what it is. Like we just said earlier, right? You know, social media has its good, right? Because it's allowed people to come out, you know, with their voices, like with the Me Too movement and you know, holding people accountable for things, right? But at the same time, it's just brought out a people who are like just trolls. Like I was telling you the other day, unfortunately, it was also only in Dade, you know, there was this horrible incident where it was like a double murder suicide type situation. And, you know, only in Dade, again, thankfully, I will say thankfully, because I drove by that building as something was happening, lots of cop cars, I didn't know what was happening. I was able to go to them and find out what had happened, right? And the story was there. But again, I made the mistake of going to the comment section, and there was people who were now arguing about, that's not where that is, that's on this location, no, you're wrong, that's at this location, no, you're all wrong. It's like, guys, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, the point here is not whether it's on, you know, first and second or second and third, it's the loss of human life. And then there's another troll who went on there and was like, you know, "Oh, I'm sure this has to do with infidelity." And it's like, and if it does, this is the answer? Like, mm-hmm. Like what? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Why do you feel the need? Why?
And I'm sure there were people who was like,
Oh, there were other people who were saying, like, this is what happens during spring break. And it's like, but this is not spring break.
This is Biden's America, or this is Trump's, you know, Trump did this.
Trump did this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, stop it. Like, stop it.
Stop it. Just, again, you don't have to comment on every blessed thing.
I can't. With
humanity. I can't. Humanity.
I can't. I mean, let's think about something happy again. Like, I know, Nelly Furtado's.
I know. Like, let's go back to thinking about Nelly Furtado's about butt.
How great she looked at the Juno Awards.
Phenomenal. Like, I watched it like on a loop. I'm not gonna lie, because I was like, you know what? She looks fantastic. And again, she's always been cute. She's always been sexy. But it's just like, go on, Nelly Furtado. Right.
But you know, now, like, we're talking about Nelly Furtado again in the same episode. She's like our age, actually.
I was gonna say,
she's like our age. She's had like a couple of kids.
She's had at least two kids, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm banging, I'm good.
I got curves,
and I'm loving them, and I'm Canadian and Portuguese, and I'm like a bird.
Ella con tantas cubas y yo sin freno. Y Cuba canadiense.
I'm like a bird, I'll be flying.
And then she left and she turned off the lights.
That wasn't my favorite song of hers.
But that's what launched her.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But
then, you know, she collabed with Missy Elliott.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you collab with Missy Elliott, you know it's going to be fire.
And then she offered us un pozuelo de frijoles negro in that video.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Un caldero de frijoles negros.
You know what song I never liked? Never. I never liked that song, La Tortura by Shakira and Alejandro Sanz, which is quite something because
I
love both of them.
Yeah.
Especially Alejandro Sanz. Like, those are probably two of my favorite, if not my two favorite Spanish singers.
Is it because you don't like to see Shakira dancing under a glass coffee table?
That, and I didn't care for that song. I didn't care for that song. And I remember that song came out during the MySpace era.
Oh, wow. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like every single page and profile you will go to had that video. Whatever. I still miss MySpace.
I know you do. I know. We were all coders for a minute. We didn't know it.
Do you remember what my MySpace page had?
Like, when you say, what do you...
It had two main things that I never took off. I had...
Okay, one of them was something about The Matrix.
No.
Something about Mariah?
No.
Okay, and then that's two for two.
It had a banner of Yankee Stadium, and then it had under it, the banner, it had like five logos of the like five most recent Olympic Games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the song I had forever as my song when you would go to my MySpace profile was The Way I Are by Timbaland. Speaking of Timbaland.
There you go. Timbaland, not Magoo.
Okay, but The Way I Are was a pretty badass song.
That's a great song. No, I'm not debating this.
That was like my song forever.
I couldn't even tell you what my MySpace looked like.
I don't know. Something of Britney?
Who knows?
Overprotected?
No, not that song.
Outrageous?
Definitely not.
Why not Outrageous?
Which one am I thinking of? No, I'm thinking of Overprotective because I hated the Overprotected single version.
The like R&B one?
Yeah. It just didn't work for me.
It didn't work for you.
No.
Wow, you chugged down that kawi.
I was very, very thirsty, and I needed the little, you know, little bump.
Of lemon lime.
Yes, freshness. Lemon lime goodness.
So, yeah. Anyway, so speaking of more tragic things. Oh,
yeah.
Do you have an uplifting topic you want to talk about?
I do not really have. I was just looking at it because I was like, maybe I have something a little more happy-go-lucky, and I don't think I do. So, I mean,
do you want to talk about like balloons for a little bit?
You know what? I think whenever things get too heavy,
balloons are messing in the environment.
Whenever things get too heavy this episode, let's just keep talking about Nelly Furtado.
No, that or okay, what's your favorite? Like, seriously, if you have to pick one ice cream, what would it be?
Okay, wait, ice cream flavor or like novelty ice cream flavor, thing from an ice cream truck?
Flavor, anything.
This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
This is what we're doing, you listeners, because we want to talk about
fun things
rather than, you know, just misery. which I still have a couple of more topics that are all misery related. Gosh. But this is Pero Let Me Tell You, where we will take even the hardest subjects, but fill it in with happy moments.
It's all about the gaps.
All about the gaps.
Yeah, filling in the gaps with happy moments. Yeah.
I'll never forget the first time I went to London. A very good friend of ours was like, listen, when you get to London, make sure to mind the gap. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Oye, the moment I got to London.
Mind the gap. I'm still thinking about what.
Okay, so my favorite ice cream. Okay. So the problem I have at Cold Stone is the same problem I have at Sandwich. Yeah. That I tell you at Sandwich, I'm like, I've been to Sandwich 1,000 times. We love Danny and Rosa. They got our last Cowie last week. And I can't deviate from the traditional Cuban sandwich.
Right.
Even though I know their other stuff is fire. Right.
But you know that that's so damn
and
good.
And I've gone and I'm like, I'm going to have the pan con bistec. I'm going to have the pan con bistec. Until the moment they take my order, I'm like, I'll have the Cuban sandwich. So the same thing happens to me at Cold Stone, which is my favorite ice cream. I know it's a corporation. I know franchise, whatever.
Come just and deal with it.
Deal with it. Yeah. I can't order anything other than the sweet cream. I can't. And I'm that asshole that will go and be like, can I try the cheesecake? Can I try the birthday batter? Can I try that blue thing you have? Can I try the apple
and spice? You sample everything.
I sample everything. I'm like, ay, qué rico that cheesecake and all that. But no. I'll have the sweet cream.
The sweet
cream with either chocolate shavings or Kit Kat. I also don't like to have too many toppings because I don't want it to overbear. Like, I don't want it to, like, take away, like,
but you want to say it's a sweet cream, right?
Yeah. Right. I can't, like, I love the sweet cream. I can eat a gallon of that shit. I really can. I really, really can of the sweet cream. I like a good, and this could be grocery store bought pralines and the praline
cream.
A good one is good. I'm not really a chocolate person. A good strawberry ice cream is always good.
I could do like a Moose Trax.
What's a Moose Trax?
So Moose Trax is...
Oh, it's not a Publix special edition one?
I don't know if it's Publix only, but it's like a vanilla ice cream with like chocolate swirls and then like drizzled in with like little mini peanut butter cups type things.
Okay. I mean, obviously, the Mickey ice cream makes me happy.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the one that...
Nestle. I also like the It's a Kadoozy. I haven't had one of those in a while.
I can't remember the last time I had
it. It's a Kadoozy.
Well, it must have been at Disney.
It was 2017 at Epcot Center.
Okay, well, there you go.
In July.
Yeah, I haven't had... I can't remember. Again, I cannot remember the last time I had it. It's a Kadoozy. Also, I can't remember the last time we've said It's a Kadoozy this many times.
More than where we're saying it's a Kadoozy now?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a Kadoozy.
Yeah. I like those a lot, too. You know what I've always found disgusting? Disgusting.
What?
The fudge pops.
Oh, like the duro frio?
That's an Americano thing.
The duro frio.
I'm sorry. An Americano thing.
That's one of those things that, like, as a kid, I liked it because as a kid, you like everything. But I'm not a fan of, like, popsicles in general.
Oh, I like...
We had this conversation
the other day. I like popsicles. I just don't like great popsicles.
Why do they always make the grape popsicles out of the purple grapes and never the green?
I've never had grape juice.
You've never had grape juice?
No, I don't like grape juice.
Then how do you know? I'm sorry, that was a... Okay, you just contradicted yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You said, I've never had grape juice. I don't like grape juice. How do you know you don't like grape juice if you've never had grape juice?
I've tried it.
Okay.
But I don't like that purple shit. That's another Americano thing.
Grape juice.
What Cubans do you know drink grape juice?
No, we just drink wine. Right. No, I'm saying we cut to the chase.
You drink that Carlos Rossi wine. You know which one? The one that comes in the little...
That has that little acita that nobody can use.
That's what all, like, everybody would bring. I mean, I...
The Carlos Rossi.
And I'm like, that shit, that's like freaking Arbor Mist.
It wishes.
Yeah. It's almost here.
You mean?
Yep. Our favorite tradition is back. The fair. It starts March 14th through April 7th.
Yes. Okay. And this year's theme is Space Venture. And I've seen the new ride called the X-Drive. Bro, that thing is like the kamikaze on steroids.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty insane. And of course, there's the exhibits and new shows this year, like the Amazing Bubble Factory and Space Adventure Thrill Show.
Okay. Okay. Rides, exhibits, shows. I mean, that's all good. But we know what our pet openimos want to hear about.
The food. Dale, what can we look forward to?
Okay, are you ready? Korean corn dog, cinnamon roll sundae, banana cream pie nachos, elote sundae, Angela's pineapple and guava pizza, cheeseburger on a stick, buffalo chicken fries, and more.
Coño. Wow. Oye, new rides, shows, and food. Visit fairexpo.com to get entrance and ride tickets. Then enjoy them all at the fair from March 14th through April 7th, okay? You know we gotta say it. Be there.
The fair.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, ice cream sandwiches, I have them for nostalgic reasons. Like, my grandmother used to always buy me one from the ice cream man. Because I don't know about you. Did you have an ice cream man growing up?
Of course.
Because we did. We Absolutely. Had an ice cream man.
Yes.
Like, in suburban Kendall. Like,
hell yeah.
That he would come every day.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember
running after the ice cream man.
I remember that for a while there was like another person coming, and I'm like, who are you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There was always like those two ice cream trucks. One was the good one and the other one was like, no.
Yeah. No, we always had the one guy. The one guy. No, I'm looking at him right now. But there was a time, as I said, that there would be another one that would come, and I'm like, who are you and why are you coming to my neighborhood?
I haven't seen an ice cream truck in years.
Does that even exist?
I'm curious.
I don't think my kid knows what an ice cream truck is.
Oh, that just made me so sad.
Yeah.
There's nothing more fun than hearing the little be like, oh my god, ice cream man, give me money. And then you run outside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now I want to find an ice cream truck.
That changes when you live in Hialeah.
Well, it's the afilador.
Because in Hialeah, you'll hear the it's like ice cream. It's like, no, it's afilador. And it's like, oh no.
But maybe he's got ice cream in there too.
The afilador does not have ice cream. Oh. He doesn't have refrigeration.
Oh, that's true. He doesn't need it. That's true.
You still haven't answered what your favorite ice cream is.
I said Moose Tracks could be. I don't know.
I don't know what my favorite is. That's such a you answer. Like, oh, Moose Tracks is my favorite ice cream.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, I cannot settle on a favorite.
I'll have some Moose Tracks with my cup of joe. Yeah.
You know, don't hate just because I knew a phrase you didn't.
Whatever. The Moose Tracks are my favorite. Yeah. That's like saying, you know, oh, my favorite ice cream is like candy cane ice cream. It's like, no, it's not. Shut up.
Maybe it is.
No, it's not.
If Dolly Parton said it, I believe her.
Okay, maybe Dolly Parton. Can we go have Cold Stone now? I love Cold Stone. Cold Stone, sponsor this podcast.
You know what? Maybe we can get some tomorrow.
Okay. You could bring some.
I'm actually trying to think if there's one on the way here.
There's one
on the way from my house.
Oh, well, you just have to go a few more blocks anyway. So, okay, do you want to move on now?
Yes. So now tragedy. now that we've gone from ice cream.
You know what's really good? I remember the first time in my life that I had a croissant.
I don't.
It was when Extra opened. Down here in Miami, when Extra opened in
all the places I thought you were going to say, it was not going to be Extra.
Well, where do you think the mid to late 80s, where do you think my parents were? My parents were going to a French cafe.
Oh, I get it, but my mind didn't even register Extra was going to be.
Do you remember the size of Extra's bakery?
I do.
It was huge.
It was fucking huge. I think it was.
And I remember the first time I had a croissant. And then for some reason, I don't know what, these are the things like when you're a kid that your parents do. Again, my parents, this was in the 80s. So it was my first, my parents' first 10 years in the United States. It was the training years. The
training years, that's right.
My mom used to put the croissants in the microwave because I think that what happened was her logic was, okay, we toast bread.
Right.
This doesn't fit in the toaster.
I have to warm it up somehow.
I have to warm it up somehow. So I'll put it in the microwave.
And this was before panini presses.
Do you think that we had a panini press?
This is why I'm saying. No, like, no. But even I'm actually giving your family the benefit of the doubt. This was before panini presses was even a thing that people just had at their house. So it wasn't even an option. A panini
press is still something my parents don't have in their house. But anyway.
Okay. A George Foreman wasn't even an option.
George Foreman. Right. We did have a George Foreman. Right. Yeah, it was the 90s. Yeah, right. But in the 90s, they were past their training years.
Right.
They had already adjusted a bit.
Okay.
Anyway. So she would put have you put a croissant in a microwave?
I don't think I have.
It's horrible. I mean, a croissant is like 50% butter.
Oh no.
And it's not toasting it, you know, it's not making it crunchier.
It's just ruining it.
And I remember the first time, I'm like, what is this delicious thing?
It's so flaky and crusty.
I'm buttery. And this is so much better than our day-old Cuban bread.
Well, yeah, day-old Cuban bread is a fucking weapon. Christ.
You know what I used to do? Because I did grow up in my parents' house. They were very like traditional in the sense that they always got a Cuban bread every day, every morning. I was always that kid that would... Because I didn't like the hard side.
So you would reach in.
I would reach in.
Sacaba la masa.
La masa. And then it was just a shell.
So you and my sister.
Yeah. And sometimes I would go overboard. I'm like, oh shit. I did that to like 80% of the bread.
Yeah. That's my sister.
So all that's left is the outer coating.
That's my sister. She'll do the exact same thing. Like we would literally buy like a loaf just for her. So that she can just, you know, dig in and pull it out. That's
another thing. I don't like crunchy bread. I don't. I don't like toasted bread. When have you ever seen me comer una tostada?
Well, no, but I've seen you have like a sandwich at a restaurant.
That's, well, if the sandwich comes toasted, I'm not going to be like, hi, can you like not toast my bread? But when I go to Subway, I'm like, no, don't toast my bread. Like,
well, that's true.
Yeah. It's like, well, Subway's different because they obliterate the bread. They blast that.
They put it in the sun.
But I don't like toasted bread either.
You don't have like toast?
No.
Okay.
No. I'll toast a croissant. I'm sorry, a bagel.
Okay. All right. Because it helps spread the cream cheese.
Yeah, but not like, no. I don't like toasted things either.
No. There's no warmth in your meals.
I'm not. There isn't. No. You know what's funny? No. So you know that I love me a good salad. And it's not even for health reasons. I just like salad. And I would remember my grandmother would always be like, ay, tú siempre estás comiendo cosas frías. Eso no es bueno para el estómago. I'm like... I think 80% of what I eat is cold.
You know what? I think that's generational because my grandmother...
would tell you the same thing.
No, my grandmother hated eating anything cold.
Yeah.
Like, I think my grandmother didn't eat, like, a sandwich until she was 84.
Because in Cuba, you gotta eat hot because you don't know what you're gonna eat again.
I think it's a generational thing. Like, my grandmother, like, a sandwich to her was just like, I don't understand why you're even bothering with that. Like...
Okay. Let's pivot because we have a few more things to talk about. But that was a good segue. I hope you guys laughed.
Yes. And now you're going to not laugh.
For Christmas, you could send Ishmael some moose truck ice cream because, you know, apparently, you know, what's your favorite type of ice cream? Moose trucks.
You know what? I'll be happy if I get moose trucks.
Whatever. Go ride a moose. Have you ever seen the size of a moose in person?
I have not, but you know what? Who probably has?
Who?
Nelly Furtado, because they're from Canada.
The moose is the size of a motorhome. Oh my god! I saw a moose one time. I was at Yosemite. I was in a national park.
Not tropical.
No, it was a national park, and I was like, "Oh, those things are the size of a." School bus, like, do you know how tall they are?
They're huge.
They're so tall. Like, I don't know why I thought they were like the size of a cow. Like
no, but I get it. I get why you would think that because I feel like that's the closest like comparison animal.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I was like, is that a moose? Oh my god! What is that enormity? Or right, because
he... No. I just love how you're like, is that a moose? Like, what else could it be?
Well, I mean, what are you going to be like? Oh, look at the mooses or the moose eye. Like, you know, you're from Florida, man. Like, how many mooses have you seen?
Oh, I haven't. Well, I've seen them in cartoons.
You have never seen a moose?
Not in person. No, I've never seen a moose.
It's like, oh my god, is that a dinosaur? What is that? It's a moose.
Dinosaur.
You're not used to seeing that enormous
thing. Yeah, and then the antlers too.
I was like, do I run? Do I hide?
Do mooses charge?
I don't know.
Well, you're the moose expert today.
Well, you know what? I don't know, because my whole life I thought ostriches stuck their head in the ground and they don't.
We know
so
nothing.
So who knows what mooses do?
We know nothing.
Or moose eye. Like,
moose probably like use typewriters for all we know.
I'm not kidding. They're the size of a motorhome. Okay, this has gone off the rails.
Oh, God, as we are wont to do.
This has gone off the rails. I hope you listeners up at Oprimos enjoyed this nonsense.
Yes, they're definitely laughing. And they learned that ostriches don't poke their head in the ground.
And that mooses are the size
of a motorhome.
They're like 15 feet tall. I am not kidding. Like, you could walk under a moose. I'm not kidding. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm over 6 feet tall. I could comfortably walk under a moose. That's how big they are.
I want that to be a t-shirt. I could comfortably walk under a moose.
Okay, listeners, since so many of you reach out to us and send us DMs about like our topic, how many of you have seen a moose?
And how many of you have comfortably walked under one?
And if you have seen a moose, do you have pictures with such a moose that you could give us? Okay, just think about this. I photograph every moment of my life, right? And I didn't photograph my encounter with the moose.
Were you scared the flash would set it off?
I was just, I didn't know what to do. I was like, the moose? Do I take pictures? Do I run? Do I hide? Do I breathe? Like, what do I do? Like,
I can't breathe right now.
Okay. Composure. Anyway.
Oh, Lord.
So something I did want to bring up, because I saw this.
This is going to be a hard left turn.
So I saw this, because I have two more topics I want to talk about, and this one is the least bad one.
Okay.
Actually, this one's not bad at all. So I actually saw something on... that made the news this week.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States Census Bureau is going to have some revisions, I guess, in their next census, which would be 2030. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Which will be 2030. One of the revisions that the next census is going to have, after much debate and research, and they even took this through focus groups, and there was a considerable amount of research and work done about this. So right now, where it stands in the census, there is a place for you to put your race and then your ethnicity. But what they found was, especially with the Hispanic and Latin community, is that a lot of people would put other or of multiple races. Mm-hmm. So in part because of that, and also the Asian community, North African community, and I also believe the Middle Eastern community.
Yeah.
So it's not just Latin. The two sort of prong question is going to be one general question. So you could put black, white, but it's also going to include Hispanic and Latin. And when I read this, I have to say that for me, I was one of those people. Because right now, where it stood, when it asked you for race... You had to pick from white, black or African American, right. Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, Asian or Alaskan Native.
Right.
And I never felt comfortable with answering as any of those five.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I actually did this in the census, but I've...
In similar situations.
I've always felt uncomfortable tying myself to any one of those. So I would always put either other...
Mm-hmm.
Or I would put mixed or not mixed, but of other race.
Mm-hmm.
So I just found it really interesting that the Census Bureau actually got enough feedback to change this like very important question in terms of categorizing people, that now Hispanic and Latino is going to be one of those so-called races that you can pick from in the census. And obviously, there's some people that are very for that. There are some people that are very against it. I'm not either for it or against it. I could just speak that from my own personal experience. I always felt very odd. And that's a very personal thing. I always felt, it doesn't have a right or wrong answer, I believe, but I always felt very uncomfortable putting white. Because, I mean, I'm certainly not the other ones. I'm not Black or Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, Asian or Native American. But I always felt very uncomfortable putting white because I don't feel white. I don't consider myself white. I certainly culturally am not. So I always felt very like, is this what I'm supposed to put? And apparently a lot of people felt that way too. So hence they're doing these revisions to it. And the United States Census Bureau has done revisions since it exists. It's been revising
things too. Just the addition of Hispanic was a revision.
But these are the first revisions they do in over 25 years. I think the last revision they did was in 1997. So now, as I said, they're going to revise the United States Census Bureau to include Latin and Hispanic as a race, whereas before it was you're either white, black, Native American, Asian, Pacific Islander, and then your ethnicity was Latino, so on and so forth. Whereas now that question is going to be one question. So what do you feel about this? Do you think this is something that is accurate? Because again, a lot of especially Latin people, I mean, and there's other people that have felt similar to it, but obviously we could speak to it as Latinos. You know, a lot of Latin people felt very similar to me. They felt very uncomfortable putting white. Also, does this account for Afro-Latinos? Because, you know...
That was actually my first thought.
That's a debate that, you know, we don't take because we're not Afro-Latino, so we don't want to speak on behalf of anybody who is. But that's something that, you know, a lot of times there is a bit of a disconnect between, you know, a Latin, you know, Afro-Latinos and African-Americans, you know. And again, that's a conversation for, you know, them to have.
Cultural, but,
But, you know, how do you feel about this whole categorization?
I think it might be an instance of its heart being in the right place, but I don't know if it's the solution. And I look, anytime you're talking about, you know, race as a whole, it gets a little tricky. But for instance, I don't think of it as the Latino race. You know what I mean? I think it's a culture. So I don't know if putting it, if throwing everything under just the heading of race makes sense just from a...
I think they're lumping it as race ethnicity, whereas before it was race, then ethnicity.
So it's... Okay, so basically they're taking it from two sections and putting it into one.
Right, because before the question was, what is your race? White, black, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, Asian, or Alaskan Native? And then after cultural, you answered that question, there was an ethnicity question, which there you, in our case, you would put that you were Latino. Whereas now it's going to be one question.
Okay, so it's just which one
Latino, Hispanic Latino is included in that and in those several.
And you can select more than one.
You can select more than one. So, and in addition to it, I mean, we're talking about it in reference to Latino because we're Latin, but there's also going to be revisions where it's going to say Middle Eastern and North African because, you know, from what I was reading, because I read several articles about this, like North African is like Egypt, Morocco, you know, that whole area of Africa, which is very different than more mid Africa and Southern Africa. So, you know, different people and different groups of people also have their own, you know, issues or own questions about this concerns. As well. So, you know, I think that this is one of those things that, like, you know, the point of the census is to categorize people and put certain people in a box and label people for better, for worse. And I think the problem with that, that inherently It's flawed.
You're never going to have the right answer.
You're never going to have the right answer.
Inherently. That's what I mean by, like, this seems like one of those things that's heart is in the right place, but I don't necessarily think is the end answer.
Have you, though?
I've never felt like you. I've never
because I've said this to you many years. For years, I've said this. Yeah. There was times that I would put other because I just don't.
I always put white, Hispanic.
So you've never had a problem like putting white, even if you did not have a follow up question asking your ethnicity. So if I didn't have the option, if the option is, which is the current option in the census, previous to these revisions. So again, the five in terms of race currently in the census is white, black or African American, Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, Asian and Alaskan Native.
Right.
So if
by default,
if it's those five, you feel comfortable putting white.
By default, I'm not the other four.
Right.
I mean.
So that's my struggle as well. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the other four, but I didn't feel white either. I don't consider myself white. Mm-hmm. So I and that is how I feel. And nobody could tell me I feel differently.
I'm not here to convince you one way or the other.
That's a personal thing. So yes, if I had to pick among those five, I would put white. Mm-hmm. But I never, like, I would, that's why sometimes I would just either not answer it or put other, because you know how these things are. They're very like, you must pick one. And but I don't want to pick one.
Like, you cannot proceed if you don't pick one.
Because that's not how I feel. And then in the United States especially, white means something very different than in Cuba or in other countries.
This is also true.
Right? And that has that's a huge component to it.
Right.
Because in other countries, white, black is just the color of your skin, but it's, you both have the same culture.
Right. And I think that's where I'm applying it, right? I'm approaching it from the perspective of, like, color of skin, because you're asking me what my culture is with the ethnicity question. So it's like, okay, I'm telling you, I'm like, yeah, I'm this thing. And if we're going by skin color, again, I'm not black. I'm not Pacific Islander. I'm not Asian. You know what I mean? So, okay, yes, it's white.
Right. I personally felt very uncomfortable sometimes answering like that, because it didn't make any sense. It still doesn't. And again, this stuff doesn't have right or wrong answers, because it doesn't have right or wrong answers, and it's never going to have the right answer.
Right, correct, because it's such a personal thing. After a certain point, it is a personal feeling, you know? Yeah. Again, somebody can feel, you know, completely Latin or, you know, and maybe not self-identify on paper as, you know, Afro-Latin or whatever, because, you know, maybe for some people it's like the minute you put Afro, it's Afro-African-American, which has culturally a total different significance than, you know, if you're Dominican or
it's very layered.
It's very layered. You know, you can't just say, like, well, here's your 10 options and that's all you've got. It's almost like, well, within these options that you're giving me, this is what I can answer.
Right. And with this new methodology that they're going to have in the next census, what I was reading was that there were many people who actually were Afro-Latino who were, like, concerned, because you can now put that you're Latino and not white, but that doesn't make you Afro-Latino.
That is true.
Right. So now are they counting?
How are they counting it?
How are they counting it?
Right. Right. Again, I come back to my thing of the heart's in the right place. I think this is a nice step in the right direction. I just don't know that it's the answer that they were hoping it would be.
Yeah. All this makes me very uncomfortable. It really does. It makes me very uncomfortable because, like, it's just so hard to define. And I understand why a census exists. Right. I understand it completely from a logical sense, and in terms of, you know, whether it's funding or awareness or data.
Just data. You want to know
that, you know, data is very important.
You want to know what your population is made up of.
Data is very important in order to move ahead and to help certain communities or certain, you know, from an economic level, you know. I get all that completely. But for me, it's something I've always struggled with, and it's always made me very uncomfortable. Always. Yeah.
I'm okay with picking white.
Yeah. You white supremacist.
Well, you know me. I love, you know me. I buy Clorox by the gallon.
Oh. Is that what you buy when you're eating your moose track?
I do, yes. Oh. Yes. That's why I have to wear it and get the bleach, because, you know, all that chocolate, all that white. Yeah. Oh, my
God. I love when I... Where was I the other day that somebody was eating barbecue ribs, and I'm like, you're wearing a white crisp linen shirt. Like, I mean, it just couldn't get any, like, white linen shirt.
Like, you're just waiting to be it wasn't a even laundry like detergent commercial.
Yes. It was like, but did you think this was a good idea? Like,
you did not think this through at all.
Or people that go eat shrimp scampi with a white linen shirt.
So I think the takeaway here is don't wear a white linen shirt if you're going to go out to dinner. Oh,
you know what? We've been talking all these things, and we have totally failed that this weekend is Easter.
It is Easter. It is Easter.
Do you like the Cadbury eggs?
I do not.
No. Okay, so do you... Okay, we're going to go with the theme, all right?
Okay.
Do you know how I like my Cadbury eggs? And I love them.
Frozen.
Yep.
I mean, given that we've only talked about you eating things...
I actually don't put them in the freezer. I put them in the fridge, but I like when the inside is solid.
Okay, I don't like Cadbury eggs.
How can you not like Cadbury eggs?
Because I don't. Because I've never. Okay, first of all, I never thought to put them in the fridge, and I don't like. It just weirds me out. The yolk, but it's chocolate, but it's candy. I'm not a fan. I love
Cadbury eggs.
Not a fan.
Oh my God, I could like eat that little box of like six of them from the fridge. Do you know it's really good frozen? I think I've had you eat it frozen. The Entenmann's Devil's Food Donuts.
Oh, yes, you have.
The chocolate donuts. Yes. Listeners.
They're very good. Very, very good.
Get those chocolate donuts, the ones from Entenmann's.
Not the ones that are just frosted. It has to be the chocolate. The
chocolate donuts. Yeah. No, the ones that are vanilla inside too, or cake inside, but just frosted with chocolate. Okay. Put them in the freezer. You don't have to leave them overnight. Just put them in the freezer for an hour. Yeah. Say, I'm going to go dad me. You could thank me later. Send your thanks to Better Let Me Tell You.
Send us Entenmann's Donuts.
Yes. It will rock your... It's so good. It's so good.
It is very good. You know, you should just start like a YouTube channel of like how to eat frozen things.
I don't eat frozen things. I just eat cold things.
Really cold things.
You know what's really good frozen? Orange juice.
Oh, that is true.
Like right when it's about to freeze.
That is very good. Like almost slushy.
So good. Yeah. So good. And I mean, then there's like the best thing that's ever frozen. That's a Capri Sun.
Capri Suns are good.
Frozen? Yeah.
I have not had a Capri Sun in forever.
When I used to get Capri Suns as a kid that my mom would bring me the box, I just put the whole damn box in the freezer. Like, don't leave that outside. And
why bother?
And a gabinete. Pon eso congelado.
Why bother?
I'm like, don't ask. Just put it congelado.
You're not going to drink it. I am. All right. So let's just do as I say.
I've told you. My dream is to get for my house, and I should just get it, the hospital ice machine. I may not leave the house once I have that.
Yeah, we need to never get it for you.
I just may not leave.
No.
Because, I mean, that ice. Okay, don't tell me that hospital ice make a soda taste better.
I'm not an ice connoisseur like you are. So to me, ice is just ice.
No, it's not.
Again, like I said, I am not an ice connoisseur like you.
Del congelador is the same than, you know, freaking... Okay, no, seriously. You don't think that hospital ice makes...
I don't have an opinion on it.
Oh my God, who are you?
I'm not... I don't care about ice.
How can you not care about ice?
I just don't.
But it's so good.
Ice for me is just something to cool my drink, and that's it.
Okay. Wow. You never really know a person,
it's
don't
true.
You?
It's true. It's nice, though, to know that, you know, at this point in our friendship, there's still new layers to this.
No, absolutely.
Yes. That's the positive takeaway here.
Absolutely. I mean, you like ice chips?
No.
Do you even care about ice sculptures?
I mean, I do, but I'm not going to eat them.
Do you like ice skating?
I do enjoy ice skating. I'm not good at it, but I enjoy ice skating.
I broke my pubic bone ice skating when I was 19. You were there. I literally fell on my ass.
Aww.
At the Sunrise Ice Skating Center.
Yes, you did.
Sunrise.
Yes, that's the name would imply.
Here in Florida.
In Florida, yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so something I did want to bring up. This was actually what I wanted to bring up earlier before we started speaking about ice cream.
Yeah. An hour in, and now we're at the real topic.
So I actually finished watching And it's been out for a few weeks now. The documentary or four-part docuseries called Quiet on the Set,
yes,
about Nickelodeon, the reign of terror at Nickelodeon. And, you know, I have to tell you that I had heard that it was bad, but it's really, it's really bad. It's really, really bad. And, you know, I tried to see it with an open mind and not so much based on what other people were saying. I was like, okay, I want to see it on my own and see it, you know, by its my own merits and see what's going on here. And I have to tell you that it was even worse than what I initially thought, because, you know, a lot of these shows that you know that they're talking about in terms of like the late 90s and early 2000s, I remember when these shows came out, like, we were already past the Nickelodeon age.
Yeah.
But I was still young enough that I watched a lot of these shows, or at least
sporadically. We had knowledge of them,
And, you know, we were still really young when these shows came out. We were not, like, 12, but we were still young. And I guess even though we were maybe in our late teens, early 20s, we still didn't have sort of that experience of just being older, that we saw things, you know, the way they were. And a lot of these skits now, as somebody older, a lot of these skits were really inappropriate. The documentary starts off with this skit that Ariana Grande did, you know, when she played Cat Valentine in
Sam and Cat
with a potato. That it's terrible. I mean, it's absolutely terrible, like that scene. And you look at it now and it's like, okay, how did anybody, first of all, think this was appropriate? And secondly, Nickelodeon is a huge, huge corporation.
It's a Viacom company.
It's a huge entity. How did nobody in those ranks say, hey, this is not appropriate? And I'm giving the Ariana Grande example because that's like the first big one that they put in the documentary, and she's a really big name. But just everything that went on, from like the fact that they had all this content that had very explicit sexual innuendos that was being performed by children, to the fact that they had more than one pedophile on the payroll, to the fact that Dan Schneider, who was the executive producer of all these shows, was practically
he would rule
as a reign of terror, like terrorizing all these people. And then finally the whole thing with Drake Bell, that, you know, he was molested and sexually abused by one of the people on staff, and this went on like it was ignored, it was not like taken care of. It wasn't like there was one instance where maybe the company didn't handle it correctly. It was a continued and systematic abuse of these children in every way, and in abuse, you know, abuse takes very different forms.
In the broad term,
you know, there was abuse in how they were treated, abuse in the content they were filming, and then sexual abuse. So it's just incredible how, and unbelievable how this happened with such a large entertainment media entity like Nickelodeon,
and it went on for years
right? So again, it's not like, okay, it was one instance
or two shows
that you know, it fell through the cracks and there wasn't proper surveillance and this unfortunately happened. No, this happened for many years, and I saw it and I was shocked. It was so much worse than I had heard and thought and had seen online. It's just absolutely awful. I mean, I think you should watch it.
I've been meaning to watch it. It's just one of those things where it's like every time I sit down to watch it, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Am I really in the, again, because you know going in what you're going to encounter, right? At this point, especially. And it's like, am I in the place, right, mentally to sit and watch four episodes of just these poor kids recounting their trauma? You know, I'm going to watch it. I want to watch it, but it's one of those, I have to kind of gird myself before I sit down and do it, you know?
You know, something, and again, the problem here with with this issue with Nickelodeon is that it was very systematic, and it you know what they say, it rots from the head.
Yeah, the fish rots from the head. Yeah.
The fish rots from the head. And, you know, Dan Schneider, which, you know, it was even bad. You know how we were talking about Diddy earlier today?
Yeah.
It was even bad to see all this about Dan Schneider, because Dan Schneider was Dennis on Head of the Class, which was a show that I loved as a kid. It was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid in the 80s and early 90s. And he was hilarious on that show.
Yeah.
And so it was sort of... so disappointing to see somebody that you saw as a kid on TV, you know, be this tyrant, because that's what he was to these kids. And, you know, the fact that, you know, as I said, the fish rots from the head, that he had this reign of terror on these kids.
Everybody was terrified.
And there's a huge, like, there's a whole episode that's almost all about Amanda Bynes.
Oh, okay.
Right, because the thing with Amanda Bynes is that
I mean, her career was pretty much...
he discovered her shepherded, on the show All That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that led on to the Amanda Show. Right.
And then she went on to What I Like About You.
Right, and All That was produced by him.
Yeah.
And...
so they had an extensive working relationship.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and then obviously we know what everything that happened with Amanda Bynes. That's like, it's a tragedy. It's just awful, the current state of Amanda Bynes. Yeah. And... it was just so disappointing to see that, again, Nickelodeon, that, you know, it's like, it's Disney and it's Nickelodeon, right? That you grow up watching, you know, we especially grew up watching in the Double Dare years, and then we kept watching these shows, or we knew about these shows. To see, like, the systematic, you know, again, he was a tyrant that this man had over these kids. The fact that they hired... you know, or were on staff, multiple pedophiles, and then the sexual abuse of Drake Bell. Like, it was all these things that happened for many, many years, and either nobody noticed or nobody cared. And,
I'm not sure which is worse.
There's so much accountability to go on there. You know, accountability from the executives, from the producers, from even the parents.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these parents would just leave their kids...
It was like a summer camp.
Yeah.
They just dropped them off and then
came back later. And I would always think, like, my parents wouldn't do that. Like, what? Like, right.
But I mean, but even still, I mean, you know, look, there's only so much supervision you can even have of your child, right? I mean, because you can be on set every single day
and something like that
happen. Something can happen. You know, the minute that you walk off set because you're like, oh shit, I have to go to a doctor's appointment today.
Right. There's a kid, I forget his name, that... he did one or two seasons of All That, and I think they were going to come in for the third season, and he got fired. They didn't renew him for the third season because his mom was there every day, and his mom was advocating for him, and his mom was a thorn in the side of the producers.
Right.
Because she was defending her kid.
But she was being a parent.
So then ultimately that led to his dismissal of the show. Right. But, you know, there were so many kids that's like, okay, well, where were the parents? And again, in that particular case, you know, if your kid is in entertainment, as you said, you could be there every day and there's things that go on and you still don't know. Yeah. But that's why I say it was very systematic.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of kids, a lot of time, a lot of different things that were going on. And yeah.
I mean, a part of it, I think also in a weird way, because it went on for so long, these kids shows for the most part last maybe like what, 3-4 years on average. So what happens is you're always cycling out and cycling in. Right. So it's like the old crop, once people might start getting wise to what's happening. Oh, the show's over. Thank you for your service. We're bringing new kids in now who know what's going on behind the scenes, who don't know what monster, you know, this person is at the producer level. So it's almost like you've set up this perfect system where you can just bring in new victims, for lack of a better word, every so often, and push the old ones out.
Right.
You know, it's you keep replenishing the system.
Right. It was really bad. It was really, really bad. So
yeah. About it. I just
Hey everyone, it's DJ. Yoye, you know we've been digging on Gawi Lemon Lime Soda for a bit now. The tart, sweet, bubbly taste of Gawi Lemon Lime is perfect for thirst quenching, and it's been a hit at all of our Bing Bong Boyo pop-ups. People love it. Not to mention, it's been a crisp, refreshing soda since 1948 without an aftertaste like some other sodas. Just saying. Así que, get your Gawi Lemon Lime at your store or even online. And if your store doesn't carry it, pues pídelo and start enjoying the authentically Cuban taste of Gawi Lemon Lime today. Gawi Lemon Lime, qué rico es. Well, all this has made me thirsty.
Yes, yes, yes. So I think it is, it's Cowboy time.
Limón con lima, lima, limón. Lo trae Cowboy, que vacilón. En la respuesta para este calor. Tómate un Cowboy, lima, limón.
Cowboy! All right, so who's your last Cowboy going
so
to?
So my last Cowboy this week, I'm actually going to give a Cowboy to the whole thing of Kate Middleton. So Middleton Gawi. You know, we actually talked about it here last week.
Touched on it.
That, you know, I was like, leave her alone. Mm-hmm. You know, at that point in time, we didn't know there was a cancer diagnosis, but I was kind of like, leave her alone. Like, why is the whole world looking for Kate Middleton? Like,
yeah, she's an OU explanation.
She's living her life, you know? You know, maybe it was something frivolous, maybe it was something serious, but yeah, like, what's the big deal about it? And unfortunately, it was a very big deal. She had a cancer diagnosis, and so yeah, I mean,
yeah, there was a reason, guys.
There was a reason, and you know, a lot of people then were like, they were having a reckoning, a come to Jesus moment, like, oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean,
yeah, you don't get to set a building on fire and then be the hero when you call 911.
People are so quick to think of something of frivolous,
right?
Rather than to think, well, maybe something is going on,
right? Maybe there's a reason.
Yeah. And I mean, I know in her particular case, that whole picture debacle and the palace and the way they tried to cover it up didn't help. You know, the fire that was going on in terms of what was going,
fine,
you know,
but
an explanation for why she was missing. But regardless, I mean, you always have to assume that there could be something really wrong here, and there was, and there is. So she didn't say
what
kind of cancer. I mean, I'm thinking that it was the abdomen. It could be colon cancer,
or even uterine,
right? Maybe,
yeah,
right. So they haven't said what stage it was. She said that the surgery was successful, but that she's doing chemo as a precaution, which, you know, again, you don't know how if they're giving the whole story, which is fine, you know.
Well, but again, she doesn't owe anything,
you know, a full thorough explanation of her medical records. She doesn't owe that to people. I just hope that really the press lays back, you know, gets off of them and let her deal with this. I mean, that's a scary, terrible thing to go through regardless. And you know, it's even worse to now have the pressure of the world's media and eyes on you while you're going through this tough time. So, you know, a Cowboy to her.
Yes. So my last Cowboy is actually, it's something that happened to me on Fake Friday. So it's a little bit of a story, so just bear with me, listeners. So I was at the gym, you know, and I go to the sauna after I do my workout, and I'm, you know, I in there, I'm, you know, I do my own little, like, put my headphones on, I do a little dancing while I'm in there. I don't care who's in there, whatever.
You dance in the sauna?
I do. I don't care. Because I'm working up more sweat. Like, not full on choreography, but, like, you know, I'm kind of jamming side to side, you know, doing my thing. So today, as I was walking out, this kid, maybe about 19 years old, you know, he tells me, he's like, you know, oh man, you've got some really good music. And my first instinct was to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was so loud that you could hear it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I said. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was so loud. And he's like, no, it's not that. It's just that, like, you know, you are like a total vibe every time you're in there. Like, you know, you're just dancing. And
what were you playing?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you right now. It was just some like random Daylist playlist. You know, like, yeah, like, you know, you're always in there, you always look like you're having fun and you're enjoying yourself. And I was like, you know, I first of all, I said, thank you, you know, like, well, you know, I'm getting some extra sweat in there, but I just want to say it more, you know, to our listeners, like, listeners, be the vibe, right? Mm-hmm. Be a vibe. if you're out there and something's bringing you joy and you want to, you know, you're walking down the street and a song pops in your head, sing it out loud. If you want to do a little dance, you know, while you're doing your grocery shopping with the shopping cart, do it. If you have, you know, there's some type of t-shirt that you like that you just think looks cute on you, just wear it. You know, just be a vibe, because apparently people can just pick up on when you are being sincerely in a moment and enjoying yourself.
I am none of those things.
And, well, you're not a vibe?
No.
You should be a vibe. We should all be a vibe.
I just can't pick up a t-shirt and wear it. I'm going to think 1,000 things on why am I wearing this t-shirt? Does it fit well? Does it fit to where I'm going? Is it going to be appropriate later? You know,
be a vibe. That's my last cowie is to this kid who said, you know, that I was a vibe. And
so is the cowie to him or to you or to your vibe?
No, it's to him. It's to him, because I think people like him are more of what we need in the world, which is just kind of like making other people feel that it's just okay to be yourself and just, you know, do you.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, you're not like a serial killer.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to call that the line.
I think that one day for fun, you and I should do content for our Pero Primos of you and I at the gym.
I've thought about this, actually.
You go in.
I've thought about this.
Yourself. And you're the vibe that you are.
Oh, listeners, you need to see the face that he had when he said yourself.
I go in. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I'm covered from head to toe. The only thing you see is my face.
Workout burka.
And I wouldn't even dare go to the sauna.
Oh, yeah. I go in, and I take my shirt off, and, you know, I just.
Yeah, I. No.
And depending on the underwear, I sometimes take my shorts off too.
You know what I would do?
Put even more clothes on?
No, if I decided, you know, today I'm going to try the sauna for the first time, and I would see you, I would go, and I'm not. I'm leaving.
But I'm not the only one in there. Like, a lot of the guys in there are just in underwear.
I'm afraid of the... Oh.
Yeah.
No, I can't handle that. Nope. That's why I don't go. I've never been to the sauna.
Oh, I love it. After a workout, it's so cool. It's refreshing.
Remember, I don't like hot things.
This is true.
Now, if they had a cold plunge.
Now, if they had a cold plunge, you would do that. Or like one of those bathtubs with ice. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Do you know what I love? I've only done it twice, but I love are the ice bars.
Oh, I've never done one of those. I always wanted to.
Oh, my gosh. I remember one time I went to Vegas and, you know, they give you like a coat. I'm like, I don't need the coat.
You're like, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Like, I don't need the coat.
This is like, nowhere near as cold as my house.
After a while, yes, you do need it. It gets to you. But like for the first 10 minutes, I don't need that coat.
Like, you're like, I live in the tundra. I love how we brought the hot thing full circle at the end with the sauna.
I mean, I do like a jacuzzi.
That's true. That's true.
I do like a hot tub.
A nice little hot tub.
I mean, everything has exceptions.
It's true. It's the exceptions that prove the rule. Yes.
Yes. Ay, pero entrar en la sauna, no, especially with other people. Oh, hell no. That's like... Oh, hell no. Like, with other people, oh, my God, no. Like... I am running the other way.
Again, listeners, be the vibe.
I'm running the other way with my long sleeves and my...
into the cold plunge.
Into the cold plunge. into the cold plunge. And on the way, I'm going to see a moose.
Yes. While listening to Nelly Furtado.
I'm like a bird. No, you're not. You're a moose. Okay, I love that. I love all the continuing yes. storylines of this episode. This episode was fun. So this everybody, so Ishmael's vibe gets a cowie. I don't think his vibe has ever gotten a cowie before.
No.
So anyway, we hope everybody listened, laughed, and learned. This was a great episode. We hope everybody listened, laughed, and learned. And as always, remember to grab your patelito, your croqueta, and your cowie. And thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Have a great, great weekend.
All right. We say happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. Bye-bye.
Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.